Hey.
Good day, mate. I'm going to try and do a different accent each time, I think.
Okay.
That was my Australian Tasmanian one, which I think I've lost. So now we're on to point six. You've covered off on a bit of this already, talking about muscle and fat and sarcopenia. I'm just wondering if you'd have a look at that, the red and green graph that we have, and talk us through that graph.
Sure. So one of the first clinical trials that we did was in collaboration with Vicente Gilsons at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. And this was actually done on young women with osteopenia, young being 16 to 20 years of age. And we asked them to stand on the LIV device for 10 minutes per day over the course of a year and compared them to control. And these were Tanner stage 5 young women. But their also inclusion criteria was that not only were they in the lowest quartile of bone mineral density as based on DEXA, but they had also had a fracture, and so they were considered osteoporotic. The challenge with being such a young cohort of women is that you don't really want to be in a position to have to take a drug, an anti-resorptive or even an anabolic drug, over the course of decades. I mean, the more we learn about pharmacologic intervention, is as powerful and important as these drugs are, that ultimately you could take them safely for 3 or 4 years, and then it's advised to take a drug holiday. So in essence, we're dealing with a cohort of young women that are faced with poor bone quality, but are also looking at decades of expectation for their skeleton that is really sort of looking at trouble. So our goal here was to see if the LIV intervention could be beneficial to bone and muscle. And so we looked at these women, and after 1 year, we brought them back into the clinic, and we used CT scans to look at basically their hip and their spine, and also their paraspinous musculature. And we found actually around a 3 to 4% benefit is based on what's called intention to treat data. That's including everyone that participated in the study. And it showed a significant level of response in both bone and muscle, similar to what we might see in a treatment with a bisphosphonate group or like a Fosamax or something. But then when we did a per protocol analysis, we asked questions of, well, what about those that really were adherent to the prescribed 10 minutes per day? And so we segregated the women into those that use the device between 2 and 10 minutes per day, and we pooled the women who use the device less than 2 minutes per day and pooled them with the control group. And we saw a very, very robust response both in bone and in muscle, sort of on the 4 to 5% in bone increase in the highly compliant group and up to a 10% increase in paraspinous musculature, as opposed to the young women in the control and the poor compliers. Basically, we're seeing their bone and muscle were flat and not changing. But then retrospectively, we went back to these women and their CT scans once we examined this, this interaction of bone and fat. And we said, well, wait a second. If these young women who are highly compliant are really showing a increase in bone and muscle, so compliant women, the 2 to 10 minutes per day, are in the green bars, and the poorly compliant and control group are the red bars, what we're seeing is that in the first group, in bone density, we're seeing this 4% increase in bone and no change in bone in the control. Muscle area, we're seeing a 10% increase in paraspinous musculature and basically no significant change in the controls. What we're also seeing in the visceral compartment of the control women is a 6% increase in adiposity or in fat content in the visceral compartment of the chest. So this is around L4, L5, that range of the spine. But what we're seeing is also, and again, this is not to overread this, but statistically what we're seeing is a significant increase in visceral fat in the control women, but a non-significant change or no change in the active women, the women stood on the LIV device. So this is basically a proof of concept showing that if you are driving the formation of bone and fat, which this shows a pretty robust response, you have to use the device in order for it to be effective. But if you do use it, it is effective. But an unexpected outcome of this was that we suppressed fat formation in the visceral cavity. And remember, you know, that something that terrifies all of us is not necessarily the increase in subcutaneous fat that makes us look a little chubby at the beach, but it's actually the increase in visceral fat, the fat that's going around our liver and kidney and heart and lungs, that actually is contributory in increasing our chances of heart disease or of cancer or of non-fatty, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, that basically complicates our life further on. So don't overinterpret this. We're not saying that we're curing all of these diseases, but it is provocative data that shows that we're driving the formation of muscle and fat, muscle and bone. We're suppressing the formation of fat.
Thanks, Clint.
Okay. Cheers.